Nazi Show, Wednesday, June 6, 2018. The NBA Finals Game 3 going on right now, so of course we're going to keep you updated on that. We have got a big story out of the Major League Baseball draft. No, I'm not kidding. We have a big story out of the Major League Baseball draft we want to talk about. Admittedly, it's awkward, but that's okay. We got to talk about Donald Trump versus the athletes. We definitely got to do that. So all of that, Fortnite finally updated the shotguns, which I was really happy about.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And I vomited all over my bathroom yesterday.
So attractive.
Let me just get that out of the way now.
Let's just start
so
there.
So this is why we didn't do a show yesterday. A ton of people said, wait, where's the show? How come you didn't do a show yesterday? Well, because I threw up, which I rarely
Excuses.
Do. It's been through almost 4 years since I threw up. And last time it was because I had way too much martini action at the Ocean Club in Vegas.
So much fun.
It was worth it.
Amazing.
This time I had food poisoning. I went to a burrito joint, got a carne asada breakfast burrito. Will never make that mistake again at that particular burrito joint. Why I don't just go to breakfast every day at Cafe Coyote in Old Town, I have no idea either. Old Town San Diego, best breakfast in the planet. On the planet, I'm not kidding. Awesome Mexican food. They do not advertise or even know we're alive. Anyway, the point is, I went out of the way and got adventurous with Mexican food yesterday. And
nah.
No. I had hot sweats as soon as I was done eating it. I fought it most of the day. I finally got home and I was like, you know, I got to take a nap. It was one of those days where you're like, you know, I just don't feel right. There's something not right. I don't feel right. So I sat down on my bed, and in my master bedroom, I have the sleeping area, and then we have like an ensuite bedroom, or bathroom, excuse me, with a water closet, which is a way to say the toilet's in its own room. So I took off my shoes, and I was leaning back to lay down, and I was like, uh-oh. Stood up, walked in the bathroom, and about halfway to the bathroom, I was still on really nice carpeting. I had to do the thing where you kind of throw up a little bit. I kept it in, I didn't even get to kneel down at the toilet. I just lifted the toilet seat and just hurled everywhere. Like, most of it got in the toilet. I came up a little short because there were, and I'm going to get graphic right now because I'm sharing my
graphic
life.
Images.
I am sharing my life
rated
right
R.
Now. I had three massive heaves of vomit when I threw up yesterday. So one was like, oh, you throw up and you're like, oh. And it's like you just got punched in the face, right? And my eyes weren't watering, but I was like, oh. And then I was going to drink some water and rinse my mouth out because, you know, I have vomit in my mouth at this point. And I was like, no, I'm not done. And so I turned back, vomited again, and came up a little short.
Oh my God.
So there was a little drip onto the floor, which I'll describe in detail in a moment. And then about 10 seconds later, my eyes are burning and watering, and I've thrown up now twice. I threw up again. And it was a lot. And I got most of it in the toilet, but some of it not. So I flushed the toilet, and I'm like, okay, it's over, right? It's over. Oh, no, a little bit left. Threw up one more time, and that was it.
Yeah.
But then I drank some water, I spit it out, you know, cleaned that whole thing up. And I did the whole thing of went and looked in the mirror.
No.
Yeah, particle on my chin.
Dude, if you're going to look in the mirror, you got to document that. I mean, you got to take
a
picture.
It was really bad. And then I walked back into the water closet where the toilet is, and there was vomit on the floor. And it was chunks of potato. There was like chicken chunks. There was a big glob of cheese, like, and easily identifiable. And I was like, oh yeah, food poisoning. No doubt about it. I instantly felt better though.
Oh, that's how it works.
And then the dog came in and licked up all the dog
stop.
Wanted to. This was the best part. The dog wanted to.
No.
And I was like, no, get out of here, man. So I'd like kick the dog out. And the worst part about cleaning up your own vomit is you have to ask yourself, okay, well, what am I going to use to clean this up? Because I have really, my bathroom towels, my shower towels, they're like $15 a piece. They're not nice, but they're not crappy. And I had one towel that we got, I think, in Hawaii. And so I used that towel. And it was so... Let's just say after I was done cleaning up, I had to go shake the towel out. And then I threw it in the wash. And then I had to get the Swiffer, and I had to Swiffer the bathroom. And, of course, there was
So this is like an hour ordeal.
Nah, 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
But there was the whole Swiffer wet, the way that smells mixed with vomit was not fun. And then, of course, you look down and you vomited on your socks. And, I have really... I wore my favorite shorts yesterday. I had camo.
Oh, dude.
Short, like, camouflage cargo shorts. Yeah, I threw up on my cargo shorts. It was just... It was awful. It was terrible. And then I passed out for 2.5 hours. It was amazing. And I was fine. It was awesome. Got a good night of sleep last night. Had a bit of a headache, but went to sleep, shook it off. It was good.
Yeah.
And now I'm ready to watch the NBA Finals.
So who's in worse shape? You yesterday or LeBron today?
LeBron's eye is still worse than I've ever been. That eye looks bad. Like, I mean, his eye is not good. Cavs are up 20-12. What are their chances to win this game tonight? I think pretty good. I still don't see them getting swept. I think this is a 5-game series, as I think we've both said from the beginning.
I
feel about it.
If you lose tonight, I think your chances of getting swept go up substantially. If you're able to win tonight, then yeah, I think it's a 5-game series for sure. I think, you know, you win one game, you lose the rest of them, you know.
Yeah, my feeling is that LeBron is too motivated to get swept. And that's not that Golden State's slipping, but when you go home in the NBA Finals and you don't feel like you can win the series, and my guess is that the Cleveland Cavaliers don't believe they can win this series. So they have a one game at a time mentality. This is their game 7.
Yeah.
So I feel like this game 3 is really the deciding factor in LeBron's Cleveland legacy. Because as we're going to talk about in a minute, he's leaving Cleveland.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a massive game for him tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that he finds a way to win this game tonight. Could be totally wrong. Could get blown out by 20 again.
I mean, maybe he has a nice moment at the end of the game. I don't know. All I'm saying is, though, you know, the Warriors are only down by 8 after the initial onslaught that we always see in the NBA in the playoffs. So that really tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are just they're the best team in basketball. I mean, it's not – and this was the problem in the Houston series. And let's get into this LeBron to L.A. conversation because I think this is a significant one. There were more rumors today, and if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I live my life to tweet about LeBron becoming a Laker. Or really, I live my life to tweet about LeBron leaving Cleveland. And there was a big write-up in the Big Lead today about a Woj bomb that came out on ESPN last night that LeBron and Paul George have a meeting set after the finals to discuss, hey, would we be good together? Do we want to go to LA? Like, they're going to have a meeting after the finals are over to decide if they want to play together in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So, and this is what I always say. Hey, it's great if you're Houston or if you are the Sixers, because I think the Sixers are a fantastic young team that's got nowhere but up to go. I mean, look, if you're any of these teams that are going to chase LeBron and Paul George, you just have to know you're a second-class citizen right now to the Lakers because both of those guys have ties to L.A. Paul George is a native, and LeBron has a massive entertainment empire that's just waiting to explode. So Woj drops that bomb yesterday, and then there's this story about 4 different entertainment industry sources talking about how they all have already been told that LeBron is coming so that he can play in the NBA and grow his empire. This is, and there's some thought that this is where his kids want to be in Southern California because basketball's hot there. High school amateur basketball in California is a big deal.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of thought that Bronny, who's really good, LeBron James Jr. is really a good player.
Yeah.
Would do well in Southern California. And LeBron said that's really all that matters to him is that his wife and kids are happy. So I just have no doubts. Like, it's over for me. I am a firm believer that LeBron James and I think Paul George, maybe Kevin Durant, are going to wind up with the Lakers. I know it's probably a pipe dream, but then I start thinking about it. We had this discussion the other day, and I know you vehemently disagree with me. I don't believe that LeBron's a fit in any way with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, I mean, look, I don't think we disagreed on that necessarily. We disagree that Embiid is going to be some, you know, role player if LeBron goes there. I don't think ultimately that would be the case. But, you know, if it doesn't make sense to take a risk on something like that when you have a surefire plan in the Lakers.
Work it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
If LeBron goes to Philadelphia,
yeah,
Embiid is the odd man out. Because what is everybody saying that the Rockets exposed? The way you beat the Warriors, and that's all anybody's going to care about because the Warriors are going to be the best team in the NBA next year, if Kevin Durant goes back there, by the way. But they should be the best team in the NBA next year. The way you beat the Warriors is you're aggressive defensively and you switch everything. And to do that, you have to be able to play small. What happened to Clint Capela in the Western Conference Finals? He got marginalized. He was not a huge part of that series. Instead, it was PJ Tucker. You know what they did, and you know how they did it. They went smaller and more aggressive. And PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, CP3 till he got hurt, James Harden, like that's all they did is switched everything and matched up hard, and it reduced the Warriors to a frustrated club that eventually lost two games in the middle of that series. And then a lot of people feel like they got bailed out by the Chris Paul injury. True or false, I don't know. That's what happened. So now you go to Philadelphia and you're like, okay, Joel Embiid's our best player. Because he's their best player. So you sign LeBron James. Can Joel Embiid switch everything against the Golden State Warriors? Let's say they make it to the NBA Finals. They'd win the East. I think Boston would have something to say about that. But they win the East. Can the Philadelphia 76ers switch everything with Joel Embiid on the floor against the Warriors?
No.
No, they can't. Because he has no matchup in that series. Because they're going to go small. And you can play Joel Embiid and give it up defensively a little bit. But the Warriors are so good that they're going to hold you to 90, 95 points like they did the Rockets. And that's a real problem. Okay, let's talk about Houston. If LeBron goes to Houston, who's not going to be there? Well, somebody, and probably two of the guys that are free agents, so you'd automatically renounce your right, I think, to Trevor Ariza, right? Because you just can't afford him.
Yeah.
Because what has Chris Paul said? Chris Paul said, hey, I gave up $15 million to come here. Cut my trade kicker in half. You know, less salary. He said, I'm not giving up any more money. I want the maximum available. He wants to be a $38 million player. Okay, so LeBron, you know you have James Harden there, and Chris Paul. That's $90 million right there. Okay, so now you're going to renounce Ariza. You certainly are going to struggle to match if Clint Capela gets a max offer, which most people think he will. He's restricted.
Yeah.
You're going to struggle to match that offer, so now Capella's gone. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think you're picking between Chris Paul and LeBron James. And if you're doing that, it still doesn't make sense because Clint Capela can't play against the Warriors. So that leaves you with the Lakers.
Right.
You go to the Lakers, and now what do you have? Okay, well, let's assume that they're going to bring in LeBron and Paul George, right? Because that's been the conversation. That's what a lot of people are talking about, right?
That appears to be what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you figure you're starting five, and really the three that matter are Kuz, LeBron, and Paul George. You're probably keeping Brandon Ingram. That's four. And now the question becomes, okay, well, what do we do with Lonzo Ball? Well, you don't really have to do anything because what's he good at? Defense and distribution. What has LeBron said? I want to be off the ball. What does Paul George do? Paul George is a spot shooter, in my opinion. He's a legit three-point guy. And he's an all-around player if he needs to be. But LeBron there, he probably isn't. With Kuz there, he probably isn't. So now you have almost the perfect mix of a starting five. And you can still afford to go and get other guys. Julius Randle would be the question. He's restricted. Could you afford him if you got Paul George and LeBron? I don't know. You'd have to be creative.
Yeah. I think you'd need him.
I absolutely think you'd need him. There's flexibility there.
Yeah.
There's money there. And I think that team automatically ascends to number two if LeBron and Paul George go there because they'll be wicked good defensively. You would be hard-pressed to shoot 30, 32% from three against them. because they will guard the hell out of the three-point line.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think it'd be a much better matchup. Certainly, just straight up, it would be a much better matchup in the finals. It would be a legit finals. Or, excuse me, a legit Western Conference finals, that is. You know, right? Like, that would be a great matchup.
So if you're LeBron, what's more attractive to you?
Well, I mean, I think if it is true that he cares about his kids and his wife and just wants them to be happy, then I think L.A. clearly makes the most sense from a business perspective, from a family perspective. And by the way, from a career perspective, playing for the Lakers is pretty nice, right? Like that's one of those franchises.
And you wouldn't have to give up much. That's the thing. Like, I mean, I'm looking at that Sixers roster. I don't know how you keep all of that bench talent together. I'm looking at Houston. They'd have to break some stuff up.
But Houston was a team that went out and signed a couple guys to try to win this year, and it didn't work out. So I don't think he's going to Houston. I agree with you. I think you can cross Houston off. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
And think about the guards in L.A. Well, Lonzo, nobody talks about Josh Hart, and Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram is 6'9". He's a legit 6'9".
He's a mini KD, dude.
I mean, the guy can really play. Kuzma's a budding superstar. Josh Hart, I think, makes a really nice sixth man.
Yeah.
You know?
Spearheads the second unit, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about Cantavius Caldwell-Pope. We haven't even talked about KCP yet.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, look, it makes sense. And I totally agree with you on this. I just think, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, we still need to be careful with just writing it off that he's going to L.A. because I think inevitably what happens is money does affect things, right? Like, so if LeBron's going to take a max deal, obviously, PG's a max player, obviously. So then the question is, okay, well, how much does Julius want? And we've been talking about this for quite some time. Since the last week in the regular season.
We started talking about it at the change of the year.
Yeah, so how much does Julius want? And if players the caliber of LeBron and PG come, would he be willing to take less knowing that he'll learn from them?
And I think he'd be dumb not to.
Exactly. So I think if you're Julius Randle, it makes a lot of sense to take less and play with those guys because it's going to make you a better player.
Like
a better player, and you'll get that max deal solidified after those guys are done.
And here's the other thing. Would there be a fight for the ball in L.A.?
I don't think there would be.
Would there be a fight for the ball in Houston?
Yeah.
Would there be a fight for the ball in Philly?
No.
Ooh.
I don't think so.
Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. So. Oh, come on.
You can't play both ways. You can't on one hand make the argument that there's a fight for the ball in Philly and then say that Joel's going to be a role player. Joel's not in the conversation for ball fighting. It's not how it works, right? Like, the only question is Ben Simmons. And really, it wouldn't be ball fighting because Ben Simmons is going to be your point guard, so LeBron doesn't
have
to be
in
the
ball. And what do you do with Markelle Fultz, by the way?
He's a bench player.
By the way, did you hear the update on Colangelo and the tweet thing? Sources say that they believe him, that he wasn't involved with those Twitter accounts. And I say, what does that matter? That means somebody that knew him, his wife. Because I was listening to Dan Patrick this morning, I think it was, who laid out the best plausible scenario. You go home and bitch to your wife about everything that's happening at work.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, can you believe that Joel Embiid took his shirt off? Or, you know, all of the things that you read.
That's what we do in life.
Yeah. How Jaleel failed that physical. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And she turns around, allegedly, supposedly, in this scenario, turns around and tweets that out in a fake Twitter account. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, it's still damaging to the franchise. I mean, you can say
don't
that.
You have to
say,
fire him?
I mean, that's a judgment thing. That's again, like what we're going to talk about a little later on, that's one of those deals for me where you have to, it's the in-person test. It's the, hey, how do I in-person talking to Colangelo feel about this? On the surface, yeah, it's like, okay, get rid of this guy. Let's go. Move on.
I don't know how you don't fire that guy.
But what's hard about it is on the inside, he's in control of all of this. He's done a really good job for them, right? Like, he's done an excellent job. If he had done a bad job and they're a losing team and they're still terrible, okay, I think he's already fired. But because of the quality of production that he's put out for them, I think that's what's keeping him around, right? Like, there's not good GMs just falling off trees, you know? Like, that's not how it works. So, yeah, on the surface, I'd fire him, but if they truly believe he didn't do it, and if there's a plan they can put in place to not have that happen again, I think there's a conversation around it, but that's up to Philly ownership.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I'd fire him.
It's tough.
Because I don't see how players trust him. I don't see how other executives trust him. And by the way, what does this do to his marriage? That's the worst part. Because this is the kind of thing that...
time heals all, though.
This is the kind of thing. If he loses the Sixer job, this is the kind of thing that's like, wow, babe, what were you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, this is the... If he didn't do it, if he truly was not involved in tweeting from those accounts and is an innocent victim here, I feel horrible for him.
But is he really a victim? Is he really, like, and I always ask this question because victim is a strong word. Like, calling someone a victim is a strong word and very specific.
If your wife, unbeknownst to you, is tweeting the secrets of Pillow Talk and it gets you fired from jobs that are not easy to get, like an NBA president of basketball operations job, oh, you're a victim.
So then knowing that, does Philly ownership say, yeah, he was the victim here. He didn't actually do this, so...
Oh, I don't... But see, that's the problem. Whether he did it or not, it was done through him, and I think that means he has to go. It's sad. It sucks.
Yeah.
But I think the reality is that there's... You know, I feel terrible for him because we know the Colangelo family pretty well. Like, they're a quality family. I think Brian is a guy that's gotten a reputation now of being quite thin-skinned. And it's really just unfortunate.
It's a judgment call, dude. It's a judgment call. And again, it all just depends on how they feel about it. There's no book on how to handle this. It's just, how do I feel about it sitting across the table from him? Is he saying the right things? Is there a plan for it not to happen again? And if there is, and didn't Joel come out and say he believes that Brian didn't do that?
After ripping him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, if he still has the locker room, I think it's fine. But if he's lost the players.
But here's the other thing. There's a really good general manager that's just chilling right now, and it's David Griffin. So there is a suitable replacement.
Yeah.
To take that. I mean, it sucks for Brian. It does. I feel bad for him. Speaking of it sucks, let's talk about Luke Heimlich, the Oregon State pitcher, who, this is an ugly situation. So this kid, as a teenager, admitted that he sexually assaulted a 6-year-old niece of his. And it's this horrible thing. He's a registered sex offender, and it came out at Oregon State, and Oregon State kept him on the team. And he is a really good baseball player. He is an elite pitcher, one of the best pitching prospects in the draft. All 40 rounds went by. The MLB draft ended today. He did not get drafted. And the conversation now is, does Luke Heimlich ever play Major League Baseball? Does Luke Heimlich ever get a chance to play baseball? And does he deserve a chance to play baseball? And when he was 15 years old, according to court documents, he made this horrendous act. He committed this horrendous act. And now he is 21, about to turn 22. And everybody's talking about the fact that this kid's a loser and a pedophile and that he doesn't deserve the opportunity to play Major League Baseball. And I have to tell you, I agree with that and I disagree with that. Because part of me says, man, I was an idiot when I was 16. And immediately when I say that, the first thing that comes to mind is, yeah, but I never molested a child when I was 16.
Right.
To be fair, he was 15. But we as teenagers do a lot of stupid things. And if I were a baseball owner, I don't think I would have this guy on my team. And that's hard to say that out loud because I know how difficult it is to perform the way that this kid has performed at Oregon State. And his baseball abilities have earned him an opportunity to play in the big leagues. There's no question he's good enough. So what do you do with Luke Heimlich?
So a couple things. And again, don't take this as me defending him, but it's just a couple things to keep in mind. So right now with where he's at, he's a top prospect. And what do you have to do to be a top prospect? You obviously have to have all the intangibles. You have to perform on the field, but also all the off-the-field stuff. And I only know this because I played, right? Like, so you have to have great grades. You have to have a good quality people around you to keep you balanced, right? Like, you have to have a good social life. Like, everything around you has to be good in order for you to go out on the field for every opportunity you get and perform at the highest level, which is what he's done.
Yes.
And so right there, initially, that says to me, okay, maybe because he's in that good environment, maybe there's a chance that he's a different person than he was when he's 15. But I'm not saying that's for sure. I'm just saying maybe. Something to consider. Secondly, like you said, people are different from when they're teenagers to when they're now. Yeah, I didn't molest a child either. But everybody makes huge mistakes in their life, and everybody deserves a second chance. But with the caveat, this is Major League Baseball, not a job interview.
And by the way, I think, to be fair to him, he claims he never did it. He said he only pled guilty to save his family the embarrassment and the fight. And I think that needs to be said. I don't know if does he have credibility. I have no idea.
So this is why I said
I don't know that I plead guilty and become a registered sex offender if I truly didn't do it.
Yeah.
But he was 15 at the time.
And he had the courage to admit it. And even more so if he didn't do it. And so here's the thing. This is why I think it's another situation. Like Colangelo, it's a in-the-room feeling about this guy. Hey, why did you do that? Or if you didn't do it, why would you admit to it? What was the thought process in taking on the, you know, being on the registry, taking on the guilt, taking on the political
band? Who's going to take that risk? Because here's the horrible side of me. You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah, it's a risk he's going to do it again.
We sign the kid. Oh, he's great in the minor leagues. Gets to the majors. He's doing really well. And all of a sudden, they find something on his computer. Or he, heaven forbid, is caught in the act. Or even there's just allegations.
Dude, I don't think any contending club right now would sign him. I don't think they would because it's not worth the risk. But if you're a terrible team, if you're the Rays, if you're a nobody organization, if you're the A's, let's say, or like the Rays or the Orioles, like any of these bottom-of-the-barrel clubs right now, I mean, signing him to a minor league deal and putting something in his contract that says if any of these things were to happen, you're done. Contracts immediately terminated.
I think the contract thing doesn't even matter. How you don't fix that. You like if a player of yours gets involved in a sex crime, the you can't just say, well, we terminated his contract.
Well, you wouldn't just say that, though.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the hard part.
Right, but you wouldn't just say, well, we terminated his contract. You would say, yeah, hey, we terminated his contract, we made a mistake, and we're not going to make that mistake again.
Right, but this is, Penn State will always be known for the Paterno scandal. You know?
Which, by the way, I think they're recovering from that a little bit. I think it's not on the forefront.
Right, but every time I say the name Penn State.
And when you hear Saquon Barkley, do you think of that?
Yes, I think Penn State. And as soon as I hear Penn State, I think, oh. And maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just a cynic. I don't know.
No, I don't think it's just you. But all I'm saying here is that we as people shouldn't just write the guy off. We shouldn't just say, oh, he's a sex offender. He's a pedophile. This guy's a complete loser, dirtbag.
Yeah.
You can't just say that about a guy in his situation. Can't do that. You have to at least... I would say at a bare minimum, if I was an executive, I would at least talk to him. I would at least have him come in for an interview. That's it.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation. I put a percentage. Percentage,
oh,
somebody
low.
Signs
very
it.
Very low, like maybe 20%. Maybe.
Do you think he goes to Australia,
Korea? Think he could go over, like, yeah, totally. Because the media there is not nearly as...
Oh, everybody will know about it.
Well, everybody will know he'll go overseas, but it's not as though... Look, this is the whole thing. It's like... You know, Josh Childress in the NBA, great NBA player, had a beef and left, and nobody's talking about him anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you get forgotten about over there.
It's horrendous. I mean,
it's a tough story because your heart wants to say, yeah, give him a second chance, sign him.
He's denying it. Like, and a scout that I read a piece in USA Today where a scouting director for a club talked to him on the phone, talked to the USA Today after they talked to him, anonymously said, yeah, he denied it. And hinted he was protecting a family member. And by the way, he sounded really convincing when he said it.
So that's what I mean. And that's like, exactly damn, what I'm talking about.
Yet that scouting director didn't get him signed.
Well,
you know, like it's just there's no good way to end that.
But that's what I'm saying. So we're so judgmental as people. That's what's stopping people from signing him. It's not about his baseball acumen. It's the fear. Again, this is the Kaepernick syndrome. It's the fear of signing somebody controversial and your whole organization being burned to the ground and being hated on for the next 20 years.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the Kaepernick situation, not to completely shift gears, where are you on this Donald Trump versus athletes thing and now all these athletes just crushing the president?
It's a losing fight for the president. You're not going to win this, dude. You're not. Like,
do you think he wants to win this, or do you think he wants to keep this on the front burner so he doesn't have to talk about, you know, trade tariffs in the G7 this weekend?
Here's the problem. He can put this whole athlete battle, if you want to call it, if that's what we're going to call it, he can put that on the forefront. But what does that do? Yeah, it puts the Russia stuff, the probe, on the back burner until something comes up. So if he's just trying to delay the inevitable,
I think is definitely part of this.
If you're trying to delay the inevitable, okay, I get it. But again, you're fighting a losing battle, just like everything else that's going on. You're not going. This is the one place where he can't, he can't win his base over an athlete.
Yeah, he doesn't have the control here.
Dude, if a Southern football player is against you, and that Southern football player is connected with all the people that voted for you, you're not outshining that guy.
No.
He's their hero, bro. No.
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. I'm burned out on it. I'm done with it.
On the athlete thing or like Trump?
The whole
what do you mean?
Thing. The whole Trump national anthem thing.
Yeah.
I Malcolm Jenkins today refused to talk to the media. Instead, he held up a bunch of handwritten signs. Okay, that's cool. Like, that's your right. But the WNBA today had their players in Washington, D.C. doing charity work because they didn't get an invitation to the White House. I think it's really important for these teams to go to the White House. I do. I think it's really important because I think it is tradition. I think it is an honor. But I can't say that about this White House.
Exactly.
And I can't say that you have to go. If they don't want to go, don't go.
But that's the biggest problem. I agree with you. It's tradition. It's what we do. It's a celebrated moment for every championship caliber club. Anybody, any team who's won a championship goes. But this guy, unfortunately, has kind of tainted that feeling with all his antics. And I think it's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
And I don't think, again, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I just don't think that the right and the privilege to go to the White House and be with the president overcomes what Donald Trump has done as president and his antics and the things he said and his stance on stuff.
I don't disagree with that. Everybody's got their feelings, and I encourage that 100%.
Yeah.
I'm so done with this. Like, it pisses me off that the president's trying to spin that the Eagles are anti-military. We all know they're not anti-military. You know, it really bothers me that, you know, the attack on the White House, it just bothers me. Like, I'm not saying Trump doesn't deserve it or the athletes shouldn't do it. It just bothers me. Like, I'm done with it.
Why does it bother you that, you know, the White House is being, you know, attacked by attack, quote unquote attack, like just argued with different athletes? Like, why is that?
But it's not even just the athletes that bothers me. It's, you know, there's this story about, you know, Prime Minister Trudeau of Canada and Trump are on the phone together arguing over tariffs. And Trump says to him, to the Canadian Prime Minister, well, didn't you guys burn the White House down? Well, no, it was the British who burnt the White House down, sir. It's just like, okay, so if it's not the Canadians and the Mexicans and the North Koreans and the Chinese,
the Germans,
everybody, if it's not everybody, it's the athletes.
That's what I'm saying.
So, like, the athletes take over, and then everybody else is like, okay, I can take a break for a minute. Whew, all right. Oh, the athletes need a break? Okay.
We're back on the horse.
And it's just, I want the United States to be the best. And I'm not saying, I'm not being political.
On the surface right now, we're not. We're not. It's not unfair to say.
Yeah, and I'm tired of hearing
it. Like, as a country, yeah, I would say we're the best, but on the surface, how the world views us.
The G7, which, do you know what the G7 is? It's a summit of the seven biggest economies in the world. That's happening in Quebec. And what are they going to talk about? Tariffs. We're going to talk about everything, but how do we make the world better? We're going to talk about pork consumers, Iowa pork producers getting screwed by tariffs and steel. And the Canadians are all pissed off because we supposedly said they're a national security threat. And I'm like, dude, they're the Canadians, man. Did you not watch the freaking Capone movie? You know, like the Untouchables, when the Canadians came over the border on horseback too early? Like,
yeah.
They're the Canadians. They're not a threat to anybody.
But this is why we disagree on the idea that I would be okay if he failed and flamed out and we got a new president.
I will never be okay with that. And that's not because I love Donald Trump. I don't. I didn't vote for him. That's the president of the United States flaming. And whatever it would be, getting impeached,
whatever the reason is.
Whatever. That's the president of the United States failing. That's not good for anybody.
But
nobody.
It's not good for us now.
No,
it's killing us
now.
Yeah,
I get it. I get it.
That's what I'm saying. I would rather, and here's at the deepest level. Here's,
we pardoned
here's my biggest
a lady
problem.
Today because Kim Kardashian said to.
That's what we're talking
about.
And
I'm not
about.
Arguing. I'm
about.
Not even arguing the fact that the lady should have been. She was in jail
not,
for 21
not,
years
dude,
for
a
nonviolent
lady.
Drug crime. Okay,
lady.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's not about the lady. Donald Trump only pardoned the lady because Kim Kardashian asked him to.
Who's she related to? Oh, that's right, Kanye.
Kanye, who's friends
yeah.
with. See,
yeah.
anyway. But now they're saying, well, he's only pardoning all these people because it's the only thing that nobody can tell him he can't do. I'm burned out.
That's what
on
I'm saying. But
thing.
The last thing I'll say here is...
I can't even watch CNN or Fox News
The last
News
thing
anymore.
I'll say is the my biggest issue is that I would rather have a president who I disagreed with on policy but led the country in a solid way, right? Like, I may disagree with you on policy.
Barack Obama. I disagreed
exactly.
on...
Exactly. Barack Obama's
a
great example, right? Like, we disagreed with his policy, but he led the country. Nobody questioned his credibility, right?
Well,
this guy,
the birth certificate thing. But other than that...
But that's Donald Trump. That's not us.
That was a joke.
Yeah, I get it.
Anyway.
That's what I'm saying. This guy has zero credibility. He embarrasses the country on so many levels. Like, we're done with it. Go. Go make yeah. more deals with Chinese companies.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, now,
John
getting
Jay,
to the real topic.
John Jay. Oh, you want to talk about Fortnite?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
okay,
7
Fortnite,
o'clock.
Then the Diamondbacks. Fortnite clearly listens to this show.
Well, no. It listens to you specifically.
We. There's two O's in Monty, boys. That's a top. By the way, they're remaking Top Gun. Please don't. Please. Kenny Loggins is redoing Danger Zone. And it's like, come on, man.
Okay, back on the topic.
Side note. Anyway, Fortnite. So Fortnite has clearly listened to the Monty show because they have adjusted the consistency of shotguns. My biggest gripe with Fortnite is that a common shotgun, because you have gray that's common, blue that's...
Yeah.
Then purple, then gold.
Yeah.
Gold kills just as well as gray does, in my opinion. And a shotgun should never be a one-shot kill unless it's up close and to the head. The problem on Fortnite has been that shotguns either explode in your body and you're dead as soon as they hit you, or you got to kill somebody like by shooting them five times with a shotgun. Like, there's a pump action shotgun that's the most powerful shotgun in the game.
Heavy shotgun.
It's almost impossible to kill somebody with it. Now, if I have the, you know, red and gray shotgun in a tactical shotgun in a common class, I can kill a bunch of people with that. I did it today. No problem. That's not right. And so apparently a bunch of people whined and complained about this, and Fortnite made an adjustment today. That's why there was an update. And they adjusted the consistency and the lethal level of all the shotguns. to try and make it more consistent, to have a kill be a kill, and if you miss, you missed. And their biggest effort here is to make sure that you as a player know when you fire at somebody if you've hit them or not. Because one of the hardest things to do with a shotgun is shoot somebody and know, hey, did I hit you or not?
Yeah.
It's like, it's impossible. And they recognized that. They admitted that. And so they've changed that. I didn't see much change with it. I'm sticking with the tactical. I'm not ever going to pick up that.
The tactical is clearly the best shotgun in the game.
Well, they don't make them in gold.
Well, yeah, but it's because it's an automatic shotgun, so yeah. You don't need it to be gold.
Well, the point is that pump-action heavy shotgun blows. I can't kill anybody with it. So here, no, there. The other thing that they're talking about doing, and this is not from the Fortnite people. This is from a podcast I was listening to today. They're talking about normalizing the SCAR as well, because the SCAR apparently is one of the most difficult guns to kill with. Even though it's supposed to be one of the best guns in the game, it's not. So the only true, and I didn't know this too, the only true one-shot kill gun is the bolt-action sniper rifle. That is the most lethal gun in the game.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Nice.
And, oh, by the way, they're making ammunition more available.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, because really it's been more difficult.
Yeah.
Having said that, rare guns are going to be very rare now. You are going to have trouble finding rare guns.
Better know how to build.
So you better know how to build. Which I still don't. I suck at that. But I won twice today, so I feel good about that.
Nice.
Actually, I've won, I think, 7 times or something now, whatever. I've only won twice by actually killing somebody. The other times, like, one guy died in the storm, another guy fell off of a high platform. Well, that should be my kill, though, because I shot his little wood tower setup.
That's a kill.
Today, I shot a guy. He didn't see me. The game ended in the forest, and I should tell you about this. The game ended in the forest. I hit on top of a tree. I stole your idea. Had a jetpack, flew up, landed on top of a tree, and the storm was closing in because I can't remember the mode, the quicker mode, the 15
minutes,
the blitz. I was playing the blitz, ended in the forest. I was standing on top of the tree, and the guy just decided to build up to the sky, and I was just sitting on him with a bolt action. He stopped, and I picked him off.
Captain.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was great.
That's awesome, dude. One of the best feelings ever.
And then the other guy fell off of... We were fighting. I was swinging my axe at him. This was a terrible... I literally camped
in
a bush.
This is at the beginning of the game?
No, the end of the game. I was sitting in a bush the whole time. Because spawning in that quicker, condensed mode is really difficult. I tried to spawn... in where the clock tower is?
Tilted Towers.
Tilted Towers, thank you. And I was in the clock tower, and I opened the chest, and some guy took the gun, so I just jumped out. And so I had no health, no shield, and no gun. So the chest in the courtyard at Tilted Towers was gone as well, because they're effing vultures.
So you're SOL.
So I sat there for, like, the first storm shrink, and then just kind of ran around, found a bunch of mushrooms, was able to eat those.
They help your shield.
So they grew my shield, and I finally found apples on the ground.
Which help your health bar.
A guy died. I took his med kit.
Bam.
Took his sniper rifle. The problem was that there were like 3 shots in the sniper rifle. And I don't exactly remember what happened to the hand cannon. But we were on top of this stupid platform and no room to shrink, and I was swinging my axe at the guy, and he fell off the platform. Died in the storm. I won.
Bada boom, bada boom,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, suck it.
Yeah, we'll see you. You don't live.
But, yeah, so I had an intro. I died a lot. And that, what is it, the shrink?
Blitz.
The blitz. Why can't I have zero recall memory? The blitz, I live like 5 minutes. That's it.
Well, that's the point of that game mode.
In the other game modes on Fortnite, I routinely make it to the last 5.
Do you like Blitz? Do you enjoy it?
No, I hate it, but I play it.
Really?
And I don't know why.
I don't know why. Because
I think it makes me better at killing. I've gotten better at killing.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. That's how it works with Fortnite, right? Like, so you know, like you, for instance, you know that you struggle to kill, and you're trying to learn and get better at building.
Killing and learning and building.
You're going to play a game that's going to challenge you. You know you're going to lose, so you shouldn't get mad at losing, which you do. And,
oh,
you know,
I'm a terrible loser.
You get better.
I like Fortnite, though.
I love Fortnite.
Freaking hate that.
I don't mind losing. That's the problem. Like, I don't mind losing. That's our biggest difference.
You know what's really pissed me off lately in the Blitz?
Mm-hmm.
Is that I'm getting killed and that person has 1% left. They have one health point left. And I'm dead. And they're alive. And I have the heavy shotgun. And it's, I'm like, I'm dying with the heavy shotgun and the scar. And that's why I don't need those guns anymore. You know, like, I never need the chain gun.
I don't use the chain gun anymore.
Give me a blue gun.
Dude, you're in great, like, this is the hard part about Fortnite. You're in great tactical shape, like, from a strategy position. If you have a ton of material, if you have the tactical shotgun in any color but gray, and if you have a 16. If you have those two guns and a ton of material, you'll be fine.
Oh, I was so mad.
You'll be fine.
I had a blue 16.
Wonderful thing.
And missed.
It's the nicest 16 you can get, by the way.
Man. Anyway, all right.
Yeah.
John Jay's a Diamondback.
Good acquisition. Playoff guy. Knows how to win in the playoffs.
Really good acquisition. By the way, the Cubs are going to lose to the Phillies again.
You make a good point. He's an outfielder. And this just tells me, like you were thinking, what's up with Pollock?
A.J. Pollock with this broken thumb.
Are they thinking that's going to be a little bit longer of a timeline now? I mean, I know they probably haven't commented on that, but that move kind of hints at that.
And he's an update to Dyson, or an upgrade to Dyson. Certainly, he's a better offensive player. Yeah, he's a better offensive player than Dyson is. But, I look at where the Diamondbacks are in that division. At the way Matt Kemp is playing for the Dodgers, the way the Padres are playing, like 7-3 on a 10-game homestand, fantastic. And then I look at the Arizona Diamondbacks, and there's a lot to like about them. Paul Goldschmidt's starting to hit now. But it's just like, what do I do? If we plug in John Jay to their lineup and it's Jay, Goldschmidt, like Lamb, Descalzo, Peralta.
But Peralta Chris typically Owens, leads off for them most nights.
John Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
Nick Ahmed. And, you know, why Alex Avila is still on this team, I have no idea. Jeff Mathis, like Devin Marrero, Ketel Marte.
Marrero's been nice for them, though. I mean, he's not a great player, but he's solid.
There's nothing special about that team.
Yeah, it's very vanilla.
But they all execute.
Dude, they're all solid baseball players. They're not freaking all-star, like, great players.
Yeah.
You probably have two of those on your team, like Max.
And I still maintain that your boy Clay Buchholz might be one of the steals of the year.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And this is what makes them good. Hazen, their general manager, Mike Hazen, has done a nice job of getting J.D. Martinez last year, John Jay, Clay Buchholz. Like, the additions that Mike Hazen has made to this club are all difference-making acquisitions.
They get you a couple more wins a year.
And eventually, that starts to pay off because they're not a special team. There are circumstances in the NL West right now that are preventing teams from performing. And the LA Dodgers are twice as talented as the Arizona Diamondbacks. Well, the problem is they're all on the disabled list. And Cody Bellinger, as I've been saying, not to pat myself on the back, but he doesn't understand that the league's adjusted to him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're talking about hitting him seventh now. Like, that's how far he's fallen. And if you look at their lineup, it's nice to have Turner back, you know, but Taylor, Turner, Grandal, Kemp, who's been unbelievable.
All those guys are solid offensive players. Chris Taylor can really hit.
Max Muncy, who's been raking.
Really good, yes.
Yasiel Puig, like Jock Peterson.
You know what I noticed about Yasiel Puig, and I never thought I'd say this? He's actually hitting the cutoff man now, which is nice...
the throw to the plate. He'll hit the cutoff man routinely on the throw to the plate. He wants to gun guys out from the right field foul pole trying to take third on him. And that's what gives up second base. That's his handicap, is keeping the guy from taking the extra bag.
Yeah.
But the throws home, he's damn near unbeatable. But anyway, my point on the West is we can talk about the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres being 4.5 outs, a nice story. But should we be talking more about the Colorado Rockies? I mean, they're a half game out at this point behind the Diamondbacks. And they are coming out of a terrible losing slump where they lost 4 in a row to the Giants and they got swept by the Dodgers. But now they get...
that right there. Just stop right there. You got swept by the Giants.
Right. No, by the Dodgers. They won 2 of 3 from the Giants.
So you got swept by the Dodgers.
But they lost the third and then got swept by the Dodgers.
So it was 4 in a row. Right, okay.
So they get the Reds now on the road. That's beatable a nice team. Little break.
Yeah.
But they're 31-29. The team that should scare you is the San Francisco Giants. And why is that? Because now we can start talking about winning the division because they're at 500.
Yeah, and they're playing better ball, too.
They're 31-31. Now, they got beat with Bum on the Hill last night, even though he looked pretty good.
I thought
good.
He had a nice little outing. I mean,
I thought he had a very nice outing.
What did he
outing.
End up with? I watched probably 80% of that, but he was doing okay. He wasn't – velocity wasn't great. I mean, he was 90-91, which is – he hangs out right around there. You'd like to see him 92, 93. That'd be real nice. But for your first outing, I mean, really solid.
Well, he was a little dicey early, but I thought he came back and gave them a nice outing. He went 6 innings, 8 hits, 2 earned, 3 Ks, no walks, 82 pitches. And what do I always tell you? What's the key to win in today's Major League Baseball?
6 innings and 3 runs or less. And this is, okay, that's again, in call me an a-hole, that's a better outing than Kershaw had when he came back.
Well, problem is it wasn't a better outing than Patrick Corbin. Well, 6 1/3, 4 hits, an earned run, 7 Ks, and 2 walks.
How many pitches?
99 pitches and 6 1/3.
Solid.
Yeah.
That right there is quintessential modern-day pitcher. Right there.
I would agree. And then you look at today, and this is the thing that I'll always question about the Giants and staying 500. Today they go 10 innings and they win. They win 5-4 today. Brandon Crawford with the walk-off. And I that's the kind of game that the Giants will always grind you out in.
And by the way, that's the kind of game that lights a fire under a team.
Yeah, Stratton today was not good. 4 innings.
And they still won.
3 earned. Yeah, and they still won. And you know why they won? Because their bullpen gave up 1 earned run. That's really tough to do in 6 innings.
At AT&T Park, against the Diamondbacks. It's a good.
Buckholz
well
was
done.
Solid today, though. 6 innings, 2 earned, 7 Ks, 1 walk. That's really good. Yeah. That's really,
quality.
Really good.
Quality outing.
I think the Giants are the most dangerous team in the division.
Are we back to this being the best division in the NL? Because I think the AL East is probably the best division in baseball, just even with two teams.
Philly's interesting.
I think the Central is kind of going down a little bit. I think it's not a four-horse race anymore.
I think the NL West is the best division in baseball. I do.
It's certainly the tightest.
Yeah. I mean, the AL East is Boston's division to lose, in my opinion. The AL Central's trash. Like, what do you say about the Mariners in the West? That's a good baseball team right now. And nobody wants to talk about that or admit that, but that's why do you shake it off?
You're going to have to keep doing that. You're going to have to prove it. You're going to have to keep winning.
Well, they beat Houston last night, and they're tied in the seventh.
Yeah.
Tonight, I mean.
Again, where's Houston at as a team? Got their ass handed to them by the Red Sox. They're not really in a great place
JD
at the moment.
Martinez has 20 bombs.
He's filling it up, dude.
20.
Actually living up to the contract.
20. 20 yeah. bombs.
It's impressive.
Like, how do you explain the fact that guy's got 20 home runs?
Because that's what he does.
God.
That's what he does, man.
By the way, maybe the Diamondbacks should have kept him. You know what I'm saying?
Don't have the money.
What do you want to have for dinner?
Dude, I'm feeling 5 Guys. What do you think?
I'm feeling fat. Make sure you find
us
on iHeartRadio.
Case closed. On to the next one.
We got to go because we got to place that order. iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, you name it. You can find The Monty Show. Until tomorrow, say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.